My daughter, tell the whole world about my inconceivable mercy. I desire that the Feast of Mercy be a refuge and shelter for all souls, and especially for poor sinners. On that day, the very depths of my tender mercy are open. I pour out a whole ocean of graces upon those souls who approach the fount of my mercy. The soul that will go to confession and receive Holy Communion shall obtain complete forgiveness of sins and punishment. Let no soul fear to draw near to me. It is my desire that it be solemnly celebrated on the first Sunday after Easter. Mankind will not have peace until it turns to the fount of my mercy. These are obviously not my words. These are the words that Jesus spoke to Saint Faustina on one of 14 occasions requesting the celebration of Divine Mercy on the second Sunday of Easter. Saint Faustina of Poland, because we know all good things and people come from Poland, throughout her consecrated life, experienced Jesus talking with her and asking her to be an instrument of mercy. She was commissioned to paint the original image of Divine Mercy, a replica which is in front of the altar, and we venerate in prayer. And she was commissioned to bring about today's celebration as we conclude the octave of Easter. In the midst of the joy of the resurrection, this climax of the liturgical year, the Church Universal recognizes God's great mercy for all his people. How Jesus' passion, death, and resurrection is a tremendous act of mercy, which has won for us salvation. Now, most of us, I'm sure, have seen the image of Divine Mercy before coming into church. It's one that's very familiar. But you notice it's this image, it graces our sanctuary, but it's rich with symbols that draw us into prayer and relationship. So first, and I know that you folks on the side, it's hard to see at the moment, but imagine it in your mind or come close after Mass. But first, Jesus' hand draws our attention to his most sacred heart, his left hand pointing there. A heart that has so radically loved us and shown us mercy that it was literally broken as he endured his passion. And from his heart shine forth bright rays of both red and blue with white in the middle. In this, we're reminded of the blood and the water that flowed from his side as he hung upon the cross just days ago. And our second reading reminds us, we're not saved by merely water, but by water and blood. It is Jesus' blood and life-giving water that gave birth to the church, that nourishes and sustains us as the people of God. His other hand, his right hand, is raised in blessing. It's God's blessing upon the world through the Sacred Heart of Jesus that we receive this divine mercy. The very same mercy that Thomas received when he fell to his knees after having doubted and exclaimed, "My Lord and my God." Notice, friends, that the Gospels don't tell us that Thomas actually touched the wounds of Jesus. He simply fell to his in his presence. And so it's that same mercy given to the disciples who fled and left Jesus all alone when they needed him most, when he needed them most. Now, at the risk of jumping a little farther ahead, we know that the fourth Sunday of Easter is Good Shepherd Sunday, but I can't help but be reminded of the Good Shepherd in thinking about God's mercy and about Thomas. Because you see, in coming to Thomas, even though he is the one who doubted, Jesus was going to that one lost sheep, the one who wasn't there, the one who needed proof, the one who was just a little bit different in thinking. Thomas had stayed away. Why? Because his heart was broken. Who could blame him? Jesus, his best friend, the Messiah, this guy that he invested everything in for 3 years, was dead. He would have put his heart on the line in so many different ways in those 3 years. Jesus is now dead. When your heart's broken and you get hurt like that, aren't you a little more careful to put your heart on the line again? It's kind of like when you touch the hot stove, right? And you get burned. You're careful in approaching. We do the same thing with our hearts. Like the disciples on the road to Emmaus, Thomas's feelings were so strong, this hurt was so intense, that it affected his faith. We've all been there at some point, I'm sure. All of us know what a broken heart feels like. So then, Jesus, in his mercy, he doesn't roll his eyes at Thomas or get frustrated with him. Nope, you could say that Jesus makes even more of an effort to break through that grief and that hurt to be merciful in proving that the resurrection is real, that indeed Jesus is alive. It's the same thing for us. Jesus doesn't step back in our doubt or our hurt. Rather, he comes towards us all the more. The church was born when that soldier pierced Jesus' side, piercing his heart and blood and water flowing out, as is depicted in the image. It was then that Jesus became the bride of the church, and the greatest act of mercy was accomplished. Remember what that Roman soldier said in that moment. Truly, this was the Son of God. Having that blood and water flow over him caused him to fall to his knees and profess the most important truth of our existence, that Jesus is the Son of God. It was Jesus' sacrifice, the mercy of that sacrifice, that brought the soldier to believe. And especially in today's world, just think of how many people we could introduce to Jesus by being merciful to them. Just imagine the power in someone experiencing unexpected mercy from us when the rest of the world wouldn't even consider it. Doesn't mean that we condone everybody's actions or that we say everything that everyone does is morally okay. We know that's not the case. But to encounter people that somehow are different from us or maybe are in a very different place than we are in terms of faith, and then for us to be intentionally merciful as Jesus is, that can make all the difference. Throughout Jesus' ministry in those 3 years, he encountered people by societal standards, didn't deserve kindness. Matthew, the tax collector, the woman caught in adultery who was almost stoned to death. But without condoning what they did, he offered an invitation to know him, to convert, to be different, and in doing so, he showed mercy, and their lives were forever changed for the better. For the Chosen fans who are here among us, that famous phrase in the Chosen from Mary Magdalene, I was one way, now I'm another way, and what happened in between was him. Those are the kind of opportunities we have as well, whether it be family, friends, or coworkers. And so we stand with Thomas this Divine Mercy weekend, recognizing the times we've been like him, when our hearts have been broken or betrayed, and it's just too hard, too risky to have faith. Yet, Jesus shows up anyway, passes through that locked door. He searches for us anyway, and powerfully proves to us that his love and his mercy always wins the day. Having received that mercy, we then become agents of divine mercy ourselves, seeking to preach the risen Christ in the mercy that we offer to our brothers and sisters. And so I'd like to conclude with what Jesus said to Saint Faustina in July of 1937, which he now says to all of us. From all my wounds, like from streams, mercy flows for souls. But the wound in my heart is the fountain of unfathomable mercy. From this fountain spring all graces for souls. The flames of compassion burn me. I desire greatly to pour them out upon souls. Speak to the whole world about my mercy.